Ramsey TV.
I've just been watching a documentary of James Cameron, the director of Titanic, and a couple other undersea films. The man is a scientist, primarily filmmaker, I would say secondarily. I'm not all the way through the video yet. It's a documentary. I'll link to it down here. It's really fascinating, the technology involved with building this submersible. Cameron's submersible was kind of along the line of Elon Musk's SpaceX as a private submersible sub. And remember the latest submarine disaster here, where those five people were killed. Apparently there's more technology required to go down into the ocean than there is to go up into space. And the testing and the danger involved in going down to Challenger Deep, which apparently is the deepest part of the ocean, it's really daunting and crazy. And I'm going to tell you something even more crazy right now. When I just came into my car a minute ago, I felt like I was going into that submersible, a little tiny capsule going down into the mysteries of the depths of the ocean. I feel like our evangel, we're going into depths and we're ascending to heights that not James Cameron or Elon Musk could ever dream of. Is it just as dangerous? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But a thought hit me just 15 minutes ago as I was sitting outside, which inspired me to lock myself into this capsule and explore the depths of God. And the most amazing thought hit me that I'm not feeling too well right now, by the way. I don't know why. I don't know if it's physical or spiritual or emotional or what. But as sophisticated as our message is, our message concerns God. And it's really aggravating to see James Cameron. I'm at the point of the documentary where they're doing these test dives in Papua New Guinea, and these strange creatures show up that just show the, you really need to watch this, it shows the creative prowess of God and his son, of course. And God would have been completely happy for no one to ever see these creatures. You know, relatively speaking, he did it for his own glory, for his own sake. And here's some of the weirdest looking freaking creatures you've ever seen. And he's not doing it to show off to humans. Oh, I can't wait till they find this one. He's doing it for his own glory. But as carriers of the most sophisticated spiritual message on the planet Earth, and my apologies to angry Alan Hess because he thinks that, how dare we think that we have a spiritual message that eclipses that of Israel's, but we do. We do. Israel's message is terrestrial, ours is celestial. Israel's message concerns the reformation of the earth and the reformation of humanity. Ours entails the new humanity, the complete eradication of the old humanity down to the roots of Adam. As I discussed recently with a fellow believer, Paul is the only one that goes down to the roots of Adam. So we have a sophisticated spiritual message concerning the heart of God, the mind of God, God's intent for his creatures. We're exploring the depths of God, his mind, his love, his desires. And thanks to, really, people like James Cameron and Elon Musk and others, we're seeing just how powerful and creative God really is. But it agitates me to hear Cameron credit it to nature's creativity. Nature's creativity. And he says, look at all these things that evolution has produced. And it just aggravated the crap out of me. Like, a smart guy like that can't credit it to God. Can't do it. It would make him religious, or it would make him a faith person, God forbid. Would make him, in the eyes of other people, a weak person because he's relying on a force, or trying to describe a force outside of himself. So that part was kind of sickening, but yeah, you got to overlook it. And the thing that hit me just 10 minutes ago, it might be 12 minutes ago now, is the means by which God communicates this information. I'll call it the gospel of the transcendent grace of God. He uses the most primitive way to communicate it. Because I thought, you know, what is this message without communication? Even if we don't find these sea creatures in this life, or if there's other sea creatures or creatures in the heavens, obviously, that we will never see until we get there, we're still looking at an understanding of the depths of the mind, the heart, the purpose of God. But the way it's communicated is startling, and that is by writing and by word of mouth. But what struck me was that in the circumcision gospel, the Holy Spirit came into that upper room, as I talked about last week, and it instantly informed the disciples of what Jesus was talking about, those 3.5 years that he was with them. And I said that there's going to come a similar time for the entire nation of Israel when God writes his laws on their hearts. Can a nation be born in one day? Indeed, the entire nation of Israel will be born in one day. And I suggested to you that the 144,000 in the vast throng who will be enlightened during the tribulation will be enlightened in a day. And this all pertains to the gospel that pertains to the earth. But it just hit me that we never see that with Paul's gospel. Even though this gospel eclipses in glory the gospel of Peter, the reason I say I apologize to angry Alan Hess was because he can't imagine that he, lowly Alan Hess, angry Alan Hess, would be given a destiny that would eclipse the destiny of Peter. That is, Peter remains on earth, but the body of Christ goes to heaven. Therefore, Alan Hess adjusts the scriptures to suit his scruples. And so he believes that members of the body of Christ are going to remain on earth. Well, that's his problem. We know that our realm is inherent among the celestials, and that we are seated in Christ among the celestials. God's speaking to us proleptically in Ephesians 2:6. And so we do have a more sophisticated, a higher spiritual message. It's the message of the celestial Christ, that is Paul's gospel of the uncircumcision, versus the message of terrestrial Christ, the gospel according to Abraham that was given to Peter. So you would think that the means of our communication, the way we would pass this along to each other, would be some high-tech spiritual enlightenment that would eclipse the circumcision method. And again, the circumcision method is a rush of spirit that actually makes a noise, and that boasts of a physical manifestation, that is, in the case of the upper room, tongues of fire above the heads of the disciples. And from what I can discern, the greatest moves in Israel concerning an understanding of their message comes by these supernatural means, by a whoosh, if you will, for lack of a better term, a whoosh of spirit. Best to call it an infilling, I guess. But it's instantaneous. It's instantaneous. It's like it goes along, nothing happens until whoosh, the spirit comes and then everything happens. And I'm comparing that with the way we get this message, and the way we get it seems to me to be so primitive. But as I thought about it, because it's by word of mouth and by writing, no, there's no whooshes in Paul's gospel. There's no anybody getting it right away. It's long and laborious. But it's consistent with a gospel that rides on faith, not perception. You notice that, right? Of course, we know that. The Israel gospel also seems more sophisticated in that it involves walking on water. It involves turning water into wine. It involves people rising from the dead. And yet Paul, even while he did miracles early on, he was moving the ecclesia to a spiritual maturity and a spiritual perfection. And that maturity and perfection involved not seeing things, not having people raised from the dead, not being cured of diseases, and not being whooshed by the Holy Spirit. But instead, laboriously writing down words, and even though we do it on a computer and we send it electronically, I'm sorry, but as wonderful as that is, it's not as good as a spiritual whoosh or have tongues of fire over your head or hear a sound or have your thinking changed in a nanosecond so that you understand spiritual things. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen with Israel. In a nanosecond, they're going to be converted. The 144,000 are going to get it. They're going to, woo, they're going to wake up. And even Isaiah said, in a day, the nation of Israel will be born in a day. The whole nation will be whooshed upon, and they will get their calling in a day. And that's a figure of speech. It won't be a day, it'll be a nanosecond. But a day is a figure of speech for not 1,000 years, not 10,000 years, not 20,000 years. It's going to be instantaneous. So, at least that's my understanding of it. So, isn't this interesting that even the form of communication that we engage in, the primitiveness of it, it calls for faith? It's ironic that the most sophisticated spiritual message is accompanied by the most pedestrian, slow, tortuous forms of communication. Something tells me that it delights God to do it this way. And when I think about it, it's perfectly consistent with the spiritual nature of our call. So we tend to think that the ultimate spirituality would be that whoosh in the upper room, the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, and all the Pentecostals look for that. They think that's spiritual, that's spiritual, that's spiritual. No, I'll tell you what's spiritual. It's coming into this car and talking. And maybe in the 20 minutes or so I talk, you find 30 seconds of some beautiful nugget that stays with you and that deepens your understanding of God. In other words, there's so much waste to get the kernel, right? And I'm not afraid to do that. That's okay. I've always told God, you know, if I need to produce an Ishmael for you to bring an Isaac out, I'll do it. I'll produce the Ishmael. I'm willing to provide God the raw material for a miracle. And we do get miracles, but our miracles do not appear as miracles. And because of that, they try our faith every moment of every day. So we have our little disputes. We have our discussions. We write our posts on the internet. We make our little videos. We try and we read the scriptures, and there ain't no whooshes. There's no tongues of fire. There's no instantaneous bing. I mean, that is going to come for us. But I'm talking about the communication of the message. I believe that will come for us at the snatching away. So it's not that I'm saying that at the snatching away, we won't immediately have the mind of Christ, because we're going to be immediately made immortal, but I'm talking about the way the message is being transferred one to another while we are in these vessels of humiliation. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm comparing the way we do it with the way it happens in Israel. It's like Ezekiel 37, I read that last week. It's fantastic. The valley of dry bones, a spirit comes on them, and they're all going to get it. And yet we go through this tortuous process of trying to make other people understand what we're saying. How many times do we fail? But you have to fail 1,000 times to succeed once. Any photographer knows you have to take 100 photos to get one good one, one award-winning photo. Talking about professional photographers, that's why they photograph those models and they go, you never see a modeling shoot where the guy goes, okay, I think I got it. No, because he's human. So he's got to go, 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 did this angle, that angle, this angle. Same with me. Putting out all these words and something's going to be golden. Yeah, something's going to survive the Aeonian times and have value. But in order to get to that nugget, I have to. And you have to get through my other stuff. But it's absolutely necessary. It's impossible for a human in this gospel to get right to the point, it seems to me. And so I know that sometimes you're frustrated at the speed of this thing. You're sometimes frustrated you can't communicate it correctly. You're sometimes frustrated you're crying with Solomon, all his vanity. It's like, but I want you to know that the methodical, plodding, laborious methods that we have to endure to try to communicate this message are actually more spiritual than the whoosh. Because, see, these things are no less inspired by the Spirit of God than the whoosh. They're no less spiritually inspired. But it's just that the Spirit of God being so sophisticated and belonging to so sophisticated of a message, almost like it's experimenting on us to say, let's see how mature and how high we can take these people by doing nothing, by showing them nothing, by not giving them healings, by not giving them the transcendent feelings that they crave, the transcendent knowledge that they want. Let's not do that. I mean, we do it with Israel and they all get it. Of course, everybody gets excited when the tongues of fire show up, when the whoosh happens. Ah, everybody's excited. Who's excited in our ranks? That's why the Pentecostals are seeking for the excitement, the excitement, the excitement. But folks, our excitement is in the nature of the message, is in the elements of the message. It's in finding the heart of God and doing what he does for the entire human race. Circumcision never taught about that. About what it does for the entire human race, or what it does for the entire universe, how it brings everything into subjection to God. Circumcision gospel doesn't go near bringing everything in subjection to God. It's all about good news for one nation to perfect them and then bring back, you know, volleyball-sized grapes to the earth. You know, as wonderful as that is, our message just eclipses it, like you would not believe, but commensurate with that, and apparently inherent to it and necessary to it is this plodding, frustrating walk and delivery. But next time you feel it, and if you're feeling it now, I'm feeling it now, I just want you to know this is the freaking highest manifestation of spirit that can be had on the earth today. Take that with you.